And they have come to spend a few days here with their daughter, who is attending Warner Pacific College. And they have made me nervous by being here today. But what I'm going to do is ask Pastor Gary if you would come up and share a few words with us. They are missionaries that we support on the island of Guam. It's the church where Lisa and I kind of grew up, where we met, where we got married, where I first kind of received my calling to go into the ministry. And so he's kind of taken over, been there for a long time, a real long time. So Pastor Gary, take over for a little bit.
Thanks. I know this was a surprise for most people that we showed up today, and that's because really this is vacation for us. Our older daughter got married this summer, and so we came back to North America to attend the wedding and to be with family. And Kelty, our middle daughter, our middle child, is here in Portland, and so we made a trip down here just to spend a few days with her before we go back to Guam. And so being here, we wanted to visit with Val and Lisa. They're our friends, and to be with you to worship today. We are scheduled to come back to North America next year for home assignment, which means then we'll be traveling and spending time in each of the churches. And so we will have prepared with Karen ahead of time so you'll know when we're coming, and all of that will be arranged. But today it's really our privilege to be able to sit and be fed. Normally on Sundays I'm the one that's up front. So thanks, Val, for allowing us just to be here, and I'm sorry that you're nervous. God bless you. Thanks.
I know. Most of you, I know, are just shocked I'm wearing a tie, with the pants included. But me being nervous, nothing's new with that. Usually, I think every week when I stand up here, I'm nervous. And you all allow me to kind of clear my thoughts and to speak just a little bit before we get into it. First one I want to do, it's kind of an announcement. It's still kind of getting put together. And many of you will know Danielle. She is in our youth group. She just graduated. And she is not here. She's working for the next few weeks up in Washington picking cherries. And I'll try not to take a long time on it. The short of it is, while she's been there, she now has the opportunity to go on a missions trip to Indonesia. And it's coming in really quick. She'd be leaving in about 12 days from now if she actually gets to go. Her dilemma is she needs to raise $1,900. And so she is about raising $1,900. Last night I was texting with her. I'm good at that. No, I'm not. I was texting with her, and I'd spent about 5 minutes sending her a text, and about 2 seconds later it pops back. How do they even type that fast? But she has actually sent me a letter that I got this morning, and if any of you are interested in helping to support her, I have a letter and I can make copies of it for you. She will be going to Indonesia for about 3 weeks, and it says, a few ministry activities include ministering to Muslims and Buddhist children and sharing the gospel, going to a prison and taking food and necessities to Christians who have been imprisoned because of their faith, attending a weekly crusade in a town where the gospel is preached. Then we pray for people, then pass out food baskets to all who come. Also, I will be attending an Indonesian church and worshiping with my Asian brothers and sisters. So that's kind of the short of it. If you are interested, I'm going to try to move this so I'm not popping it. I can never get this worked out right. So that she can try to get to Indonesia and serve for three weeks there. She, I spoke to her on the phone last night. She goes, now it's feeding back a little bit. She said, I'm not sure whether I should go for 2 weeks and come back for camp meeting or just stay there for 3 weeks. I told her, it's a no-brainer. You stay there for 3 weeks. So she's interested in going, trying to raise the funds. She's going to hopefully be here next Sunday, be done with the picking of the cherries, and be back. Again, if you're interested, then come and see me about that. And yes, I'm nervous. Yes, I have a tie on. Some of you remember last week I talked about, it bothers me more than it does you, doesn't it? No, not yet. I told you last week about my notes, and I had notes, and I said, I'm completely lost. Well, some of you came up to me and gave me ideas, said, well, you try this, this will work, and try this, and that will work. Well, I spent this week putting notes together, so I'm going to show them to you real quickly. See, I actually have a book. They're in things. See, they're highlighted. See, even highlighted in different areas. So I've got all my notes, and I guarantee in about 10 or 15 minutes from now, I have no idea where I'm at. But I have notes. I have some slides for you as we get into this. This weekend, we are celebrating independence as a nation. And so I've titled this message, as we take a break from life in a goldfish bowl, this message is titled, Called to Freedom. Called to Freedom. No, that's on. There it is. Called to Freedom. And there are several documents, several things that as a country call us to freedom. The first one is, where is this found? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Anybody know where that's found? The Declaration of Independence. There you go. It is. It is the Declaration of Independence. They're not all that hard. How about the next one? Do you know where? Well, I'll stop here. I forgot this picture. There. This picture is the signing of the Declaration of Independence. You can't see it on here, but if you get this picture and you look up close, I'm never going to reach it. See, right over here where the bottom of the curtain, the tablecloth is, one of the guys is actually standing on the other guy's foot. In the drawing, he's actually, and you can look at it, the guy with the white legs, actually those are stockings, another guy standing on his toes there. But this is the guys, this is the gentleman who signed our Declaration of Independence. Next one. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. Anybody? Where is that from? A guess? Preamble? Constitution. It is from the Constitution. You know, it is not the very first paragraph. The very first paragraph kind of starts, when in the course of history, one group of people decide they need to, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, break off from another group of people, and then it goes into this. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. That is from the Constitution of the United States. This one will be hard, but we'll try it anyway. Okay, no, it's not hard. It is the Pledge of Allegiance. And I remember as a kid standing up in school, we had to put our hand over our heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance. When the Pledge of Allegiance was originally written, it went, I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It has gone through several changes over the year. In 1954, they added under God, and that is the Pledge of Allegiance as we have it today. So these documents are documents that have been written, things that have been written that kind of help us as a nation to establish who we are in our freedom. There is one more that I have. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. It is the Statue of Liberty. It is the poem that is written. She stands there this way. And it, actually on the thing there, this is the last paragraph of a poem that is called The New Colossus. And then they've actually added the entire plaque down at her feet. And she stands, the Statue of Liberty stands in New York Harbor. There's a picture of her. And just the poem itself, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. It is an invitation. It is an invitation throughout the years for people to come to America for freedom. It is an invitation that many years ago my ancestors moved to America. It is an invitation that back about 30-some years ago, Lisa's parents decided to move to Guam to pursue the American dream, to get their freedom, to establish themselves. And it was because of that invitation by the Statue of Liberty, that invitation that America holds, that Lisa and I were able to meet. There is one more invitation that I want you to see, or one more call to freedom. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be hardened again, or burdened, I'm sorry, burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Anybody know where that's found? Any idea? Colin? He knows because he's got it on slide. It's actually found in the Bible. It is found in the Bibles. It is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And that is what we want to look at today. We're actually going to look a little bit farther. But Paul, when he's writing to the church in Galatia, he starts by saying, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." And he's addressing some issues that they have. If you take your Bibles and you open to Galatians chapter 5, we will not read the entire chapter. We will start at verse 13. And some of you, you'll be going, "That sounds familiar." It is the fruit of the Spirit, as you get a little farther down into it. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 13. And it says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." It is a call to freedom. We have the documents that we've looked at a little earlier that were kind of, as Americans, our call to freedom. This is a call to spiritual freedom. The first point I want to look at, the first part I want to look at, is verses 13 and 14, and it is freedom to love. There we go. Freedom to love. The church in Galatia, if you know a little bit about them, and the Apostle Paul... See, I'm going to get lost here again. I know it. Leave that there. The Apostle Paul was writing to them, and you had the Jewish believers, and you had the new converts who were the Gentiles from Galatia, and they were struggling with each other. In verse 13... "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh." They had found freedom by accepting Jesus Christ, but they started to fall into slavery to two certain areas. The first one was the sinful nature. They were having trouble with some of their pagan practices, some of their pagan beliefs, and so they were struggling with that part. The second one is freedom from the law. And what was happening here was the Jewish believers were actually trying to force the Gentile believers to follow the Jewish laws. And so they were kind of enslaving them. You have been set free by Christ, but now you have to try to follow all these old laws which we have. And so they were stepping from one type of slavery into another type of slavery. And that is why Paul was saying, it is freedom. It is for freedom that you have been set free. Not to be a slave to the sinful nature, not to be a slave to the law, to be set free. When the object of our faith is Christ, who loved us, we are motivated, empowered to express His kind of love to others. When the power of Christ is within us, that power motivates us, it should help us to love others as Christ would love them. Part of the irony in all this is Christ had come to set them free, but in that freedom, they were becoming bound again. They were slaves. But freedom in Christ is a freedom to love. We need to learn to love each other. The second point is freedom by the Spirit. It goes on in verse 15, and he says that they were biting and devouring each other. They were starting to bicker. They were starting to complain with each other. They were a church that was falling apart. They were a church that had been set free. They had been doing some things, and they were trying to live by the law. And in so living by the law, they were bound by the law. And they were trying to figure out, what is it that has gone wrong? So he's telling them, it is the Spirit. When you pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit takes control of your life. It is the Spirit that sets you free. And it is only by the Spirit that you can live free. It's not by the law. And that's what the point he was trying to get across is, it is not the law that will make you free. In verse 16, now I have to flip back. Verse 16 says, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Walking. Walking is a good exercise. If in your spiritual life, you walk every day, you're exercising your spiritual life. It's healthy for you. Also, it is an active thing. You have to actively say, okay, I'm going to get up and walk. I'm going to walk. It is being an active participant. I am going to walk by the Spirit. You taking charge, or you at least being active in your spiritual life, making a difference. It also goes on and says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now you're being led by the Spirit. This is passive. Surrendering control and letting the Holy Spirit lead you as you go along. Much like when Jesus was around, the disciples led a donkey to Jesus so they could ride on it. When Jesus was being arrested, he allowed the soldiers to lead him away. He had total control, but he surrendered control and allowed them to lead him away. So as you walk, as you're living by the Spirit, you need to walk, which is active. You need to actively participate in being submissive to the control of the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead, being led by the Spirit. The third point is freedom from evil. Now, up to this point, as the Apostle Paul has been talking, as he's been sharing with them, writing them this letter, everything has been fairly general. He's just kind of been talking in generalities. But here, much like us, he is starting to get more specific. Many of us say, give me the book that tells me exactly how to do it. We want a computer manual that gives us the instructions. You know, we have books out there that tell you exactly step by step on how to do something. We fall into a trap when we try to do it exactly like the church down the street. I'm not knocking him, but Rick Warren has one, you know, The Purpose-Driven Life. And that's good, but sometimes the mold that is there does not work in every situation. You have to modify them a little bit. There is no cookie cutter that says, tung, 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 tung. Every church is going to be exactly the same. This was the problem that they were falling into. The Jewish believers are telling the Gentile believers, you have to do it this way. And the part between verse 1 and verse 13, in the middle there, he goes into circumcision. How they need to be circumcised. And the Jewish believers are saying to the Gentiles, you have to be circumcised. And they're trying to get them to follow this law, the very law which kept them bound into slavery to sin. So Paul now goes on and he starts listing them. I'm going to list them from here. He lists them. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgy, and the likes. He actually breaks this up into the freedom from evil and then the list that he has into four areas. The first one is illicit sex. And if you read it in the New International, he actually goes through and it says sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. The "and" tells you that's where he's grouping them together. So these are basically, they were giving in to all kinds of different practices as the different societies around them. They were given in to the sexual practices of the society around them. The second part, the second section, there are two in this one. It is idolatry and sorcery. It is religious heresy. Go ahead, next slide. It is idolatry and sorcery, or idolatry and witchcraft. The idolatry is serving other idols. They, as they left their pagan religions and stepped in, sometimes their idols were coming with them. The witchcraft part means using spells or potions to try to create an atmosphere. The first two here are really geared toward the Gentiles who are actually coming in to the church. And I think Paul may have started here because as he's doing this, the Jewish leaders, I'm just sure the Jewish believers are going, see, he's talking to you all. He's talking to you all. He's talking to you. Because they're the ones that were struggling with it. The Jewish believers would not have had trouble with this if they were keeping the law, if they were following the law. This was not a problem to them. But now, Paul steps in another area. He goes to the third part, which is social conflict. And here he lists eight different areas of social conflict. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy. Right to the Jewish people. Right to where they're at. You have this church that's getting split apart because the people are having trouble with social conflict. Not only the Gentile believers who are having trouble or who are working with the sexual immorality and the religious heresy, but you now have included the rest of the church. The church, they were struggling with the issues that were there, just creating little cliques, creating little problems, little factions that were splitting the church up. He goes on and lists, now they're going to shrink down a little bit. The last one that he lists is drunkenness. And there are two parts there. The first one is drunkenness, the other one is orgies, and then it says, and the likes. There's a lot of listing in there to try to get in on one page. With this, he's going back to the pagan practices that are going on all around him. The people are getting caught into these pagan practices. And basically, it's wild partying. They were getting drawn into wild partying. So being set free, they'd been set free by the Spirit, but now they're allowing themselves to be drawn back into slavery, and the slavery is to these areas: illicit sex, religious heresy, social conflict, and drunkenness. Paul lists these. He went through and listed these areas so that the people could look at the list and look at their own lives and evaluate where they were at. Do they fit in any of these categories? Do you, right now, the letter was written to them, but it also was written to us. Are you struggling with fits of rage? Are you struggling with sexual immorality? This is where the first half stops. And the worship team is going to come up and they're going to lead us in a few songs. What I want you to do is while they're singing, while they're leading us in worship, evaluate your life. Are you bound by one of these things? Is your life, are you not totally surrendered to Jesus Christ because something is in the way? Go ahead and come up, worship team. Where are you at today in your spiritual walk? Are you completely set free or are you bound? You may be seated. If the Apostle Paul had finished this chapter, finished his section there, it would have been pretty bleak. But that is kind of where the church was at the time. They were struggling. They were a church that was having trouble. They were struggling with each other. They were fighting the practices around them, the things that they had brought with them into their society, into their church. But he goes on. He goes on and finishes with freedom. Freedom for moral transformation. And this is verses 22 through 26. And he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now, as I normally do, I went running this morning before doing this, and I'm running, and I'm going through the fruit of the Spirit. I could never get all 9 of them. I don't know why I'm running, and I always end up at 8. And I start all over, and I end up at 8. And they might not even the same 8. Somehow I could never get past 8. I couldn't get to 9. But there are 9 of them that are listed. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love. I'm sure that love is there, or fairly positive. There is in the first place, because if you have love, love is probably the most important of them. If you have love, a lot of the others will just naturally fall into place. They'll just kind of naturally be there. Love leads the way. Joy, kind of the result of healthy relationships. If you're bickering, if you're fighting, if you're struggling with each other, there is not necessarily joy. We have acronyms. Joy is Jesus, others in you. If you truly serving God, if you have Jesus in your heart, you'll have joy. You may be sad at times. You know, something bad may happen. You may be sad, but you still have joy inside. You can still have the joy. Peace. Instead of hatred, instead of discord, there's peace. Patience, kindness, and goodness go together a little bit. It's the opposite of fits of rage. You would be patient with each other and loving with each other. And if somebody does something that's not exactly the way you want it, you put up with it. You'll see their side of it and go along with it. Kindness. And goodness, working together, helping each other. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is next. The quality of keeping commitments in relationships. You know, being committed to what's going on and working at it. Working, and just because they do something that you don't really like, just walking off. No, sticking with it. You know, stick to itiveness. Gentleness, the opposite of selfish ambition. Being willing to be humble or submissive and working with the group where the group is going. Self-control, the opposite of self-indulgent. Those who are spirit-led will not indulge in the sinful nature. They do not use other people to gratify their own appetites. They'll have the strength to say no to the sinful nature, the flesh that is wanting to take you places, lead you places. Self-control will help to keep you in the Spirit, keep you with the Spirit. He was writing to the church back then, And trying to get them to love each other. Trying to get them to work together. That can apply to us today. You know, working together, loving each other. On this Independence Day, it's freedom. It's all about freedom. Freedom through love. Today, this weekend, let today, July 6th, be a day that you declare your independence from sin. The day that you pledge your allegiance to the cross of Christ and the one who suffered and died on it. And by that allegiance, know the true peace and joy that servanthood can give. Today, we are called to freedom. Since the country was founded hundreds of years ago, millions of people have come through the gates, have come across the oceans, have traveled by land for freedom. Political freedom, spiritual freedom, freedom from oppression. Today we can have spiritual freedom. It's all about spiritual freedom. Releasing and humbling yourself, surrendering yourself to Jesus Christ, allowing the Spirit to lead you. Will you follow Jesus Christ? Will you allow that freedom to take over your life? That freedom to set you free so that you can walk with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and do the things that He is calling us to do and serve Him.